Psalm 139 from verse 1 to 18, but we'll be reading the entire chapter. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than sand. I wake and I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. John Calvin, commenting on Exodus chapter 21, verse 22, which basically talks about law concerning men fighting with each other and striking women, a pregnant woman, he says, "For the fetus, though enclosed in the womb of its mother, is already a human being. And it is a monstrous crime to rob it of the life which it has not yet begun to enjoy. If it seems more horrible to kill a man in his own house than in a field, because a man's house is his place of most secure refuge, it ought surely to be deemed more atrocious to destroy a fetus in the womb before it has come to light." Dear brothers and sisters of the Lord, but we live in a nation which says killing of millions of unborn babies as legal, and it is right. What is our only comfort in living in this wicked nation? And when the scripture says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. But again, we live in a nation which increasingly persecute Christians who hold to biblical view of marriage, which constantly promotes sexual immorality as a virtue, and a nation which has LGBTQ as a Pride Month. What is your comfort? What is your strength in living in this sinful and wicked nation? It gets even more difficult when we lose our job for no reason, and so-called natural disaster takes our houses and takes away our wealth. And when we lose our loved ones to cancer and other terminal diseases, what is your comfort in this chaotic and messy world? What makes you sleep peacefully at night? And what is your only comfort in life and in death? The scripture tells us it is the knowledge of God. Our comfort comes from knowing God. And the Catechism also gives the same answer. Our comfort comes from knowing the Triune God. If you see let's open up the Catechism and read the question 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism in the Trinity Psalter hymnal. You can find that in page 872. I'll read the question and you can read the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Did you notice that, brothers and sisters in the Lord? Right away, the Catechism question and answer 1, it talks about knowing the Triune God. Did you see Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit? It's not just talking about a general knowledge of the Triune God, but a specific knowledge of God that we are not our own, but belong, both body and soul, in life and in death, to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ. This is our comfort. Our comfort comes from knowing God. This is the theme of the sermon, and we will see this truth under 3 headings. Our comfort of knowing God's omniscience, our comfort of knowing God's omnipresence, and our comfort of knowing God's omnipotence. The first point, our comfort of knowing God's omniscience. If you see in the first 6 verses of Psalm 139, David talks about God's omniscience, which basically means God sees and he knows everything. And of course, David does not use a theological term as omniscient, but he praises God for his thorough knowledge of him. Verse 1, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. He praises God because God knows David personally. And David deliberately uses what we call as merism in poetry. Please bear with me. It is important that we understand what merism in the Bible is. Let us start with the definition. Merism is a technique that expresses a totality by mentioning two parts typically that are polar opposites. For example, when the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us. The polar opposite, east and west. It means God has totally removed our transgression from us. And in fact, we use merism in our marriage pledges, do we not? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in death and in health. Polar opposite. But what does that mean? We would be with our spouses faithfully in all of our life, in totality of our life. And with this in mind, look at verse 2 and 3. David uses the same thing. He says, you know when I sit down, when I rise up. Sit down and rise up. And in verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down. In other words, in other translation, it says, going down and lying up. Going out and lying down. You see, David uses this specifically to say, God knows all of his thought. Well, that's verse 2. God knows his thought completely. And in verse 3, going out and lying down, God knows all of his ways. And in verse 4, he says, God knows each and every word that David is ever going to say or ever said. That's why verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And for that, David is amazed that God knows him so thoroughly, so intimately, that he praises him. And he says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Brothers and sisters of the Lord, let this comfort you that God knows all of our thoughts. He knows all our ways. And he knows each and every word that we have ever said and we will ever going to say. Why? Because we don't have to fear him. Because we belong to the faithful Savior Jesus Christ, our sins are completely forgiven. There is nothing that we need to hide from God. But rather, because we belong to this faithful Savior Jesus Christ, we can cast all our cares and burdens on him. And our Heavenly Father, he knows our needs. He knows we need food. He knows that we need clothing. And he knows we need shelter. And more than that, he knows our daily struggle with sins. And he knows the difficulty that we face in our family, in our marriage. And he knows the problem that we encounter in our workplace. God knows our secret tears. God knows it all. He knows it so thoroughly that Jesus tells us that the very hairs in our head, they are numbered. And the Catechism beautifully says that not a hair can fall from our head without the will of our Father in heaven. God knows your name, and God knows where you live, and God personally cares for you in both body and soul. Christian, let God's omniscience comfort you. And if you look in verses 7 to 14, 12, David, now he turns his attention to God's omnipresence. In verse 7, he asks, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" David is not wanting to flee from God. That is not at all what he has in mind. He's thinking about what could be the case if a person should attempt it. The ESV says, "Where shall I go from your spirit?" But if you translate the Hebrew, it is better translated as, "Where could I go from the spirit?" In fact, the New International Version, it translates it, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And brothers and sisters of the Lord, David again uses the merism, the next two verses. If you see in verse 8, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Heaven and Sheol. People think if they climb higher than God, God could not reach them. Or if they descend to the lowest point possible, God could not reach them. And a couple of days ago, NASA was in the news because they have successfully landed in Mars. But we would do well to know, even there, the triune God of the scripture exists. For the Bible tells us, the heavens of the heaven, they cannot contain him. And the lowest point people can go is Sheol. Sheol is a translated word. It means the place of the dead. It's the realm of the dead. And it is also called as hell. God is there in hell too. And you may ask, what does it mean? He's there in hell in this aspect. He's ruling them. He's judging people there. And people sometimes, and even Christians, think that hell is ruled by Satan. That's not the case. The Bible does not teach that. But listen to what God says in Amos chapter 9, verse 2. "If they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down." You see, there is no escaping God's presence. You can go up, God is there. You can go down, God is there. The next thing people try to do is, maybe we can flee from God if we go to the east or to the west. And again, if you see in verse 9, David tells, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and even your right hand shall hold me." The wings of the morning, in other translations again, like NIV and the KJV, they translate that as the wings of dawn. So, dawn rises in the east. And from David's perspective, in Israel, the far side of the sea was west. So it's from one horizon to another horizon, from east to the west. So can men flee from God if they go from east to west? The answer again is no. Let me give you an example. Again, think about Prophet Jonah. God commanded him to go to Nineveh. From Joppa to Nineveh, it's from west. You have to go to the east. But he fled to Tarshish, which is in the west. But was he able to escape the Lord? No. God threw a storm in the sea. He sent a big fish to swallow him. And he finally came to Nineveh. We cannot escape God. God is with us. And one final place that people think they can escape God is darkness. Again, if you see in verse 11 and 12, it says, "Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." What people have failed to realize is that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In Genesis 1, chapter 3, it is God who created light, and he separated light from darkness. And brothers and sisters in the Lord, again, the doctrine, the knowledge of God's omnipresence, that God is with us today in our life, and he's with us all the time and everywhere, let that comfort you. Remember, when we travel in our car to our workplace, God is with us. When we drop our children at school, God is with us. When we go, come back home from work, God is with us. And right now, even at Community URC, God is with us. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of the dead, where Satan tries to oppress us, we don't need to fear him. For God is with us. He is by our side. And Christ, the Catechism tells us, Christ has delivered us from the tyranny of the devil. This is such a comfort, he knows, for those who belong to Jesus. And this is such a terrifying news for those who don't know Jesus. Because you know a God, you cannot escape this God. If you go up, he's there. When you go down, he's there. You go east, he's there. You go west, he's there. He knows all of your thoughts, all of your ways, and all of your words. There is no escaping this God. And today, if you don't know him, now is the time to repent from your sin. And now is the time to believe in Jesus Christ. For the scripture tells us, "But God showed his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." If you believe this in your heart and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that we will be saved. Now let us turn our attention, our comfort of knowing God's omnipotence. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, if we don't understand that the God of the scriptures, the God we serve, is an all-powerful God, we don't understand him at all. We are thinking of some other being. A.W. Pink, in his book, The Attributes of God, says, "A God whose will is resisted, whose designs are frustrated, whose purposes are checkmated, who possesses no title to deity, and so far being a fit object of worship, merits nothing but contempt." We don't serve And a God whose purpose can be thwarted. We serve a God who is all powerful. And David is thinking about the power of God informing him while he was in his mother's womb. In verse 13, he says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." It is the almighty power of God. It is the all-powerful God that knitted David in his mother's womb. And David repeats the same thing in verse 15 too. But there, instead of mother's womb, he talks about the depths of the earth. Both mother's womb and earth are used interchangeably in the Old Testament. Again, let me give you an example. Think about the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." You see in Job's confession that womb and the earth are treated as though they are identical. Yet when people die, they don't literally go to their mother's womb. For David, it is the pure knowledge of God that this all-powerful God has created him in his mother's womb, has known him personally, astonishes him, and he says, "I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he picks up the same thing, that God is the creator of all things. God's power is present in creating all things. He not just focuses upon the human body, but the universe. In Colossians chapters 1, verse 16 and 17, he says, "For by him," that's Jesus Christ, "all things are created, things in heaven and on earth, whether visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in Jesus, all things hold together." Christian, again, be comforted that this all-powerful God who created the heavens and the earth is your faithful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, be comforted that this all-powerful God is the one who knitted you in your mother's womb. And be comforted that nothing, no matter what happens in this life, neither sickness or poverty or disease or persecution, can ever separate you from his love. Be comforted that no one can snatch you from Christ's hand, and no terminal disease has the final say. For the scriptures tells us, even when our outer man, our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is renewed day by day. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, our mortal bodies will be transformed into immortal bodies. And finally, in a day and age where good is called evil and evil is called good, in a day and age where people worship government over God, in a day and age where evil seems to have an upper hand over love and justice, Let us take comfort in this, that we have a God who knows all our thoughts, who knows all our ways, He knows all our words, and we have a God who hems us in behind and before, and we have a God who created all creatures, both great and small, is making all things work together for our salvation. Christian, be comforted. The God, our God, is an omniscient God. Our God is an omnipresent God. Our God is an omnipotent God, and He watches over us like the apple of His eye. And our God, He has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. And Christian, the triune God of the Scripture is our only comfort in life and death. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for giving us this wonderful psalm, where we can take comfort that You intimately know us and You are with us and among us in ways that we cannot fathom, in ways we cannot fully comprehend. Help us to be courageous and bold in times such as these. Engrave upon the tablets of our hearts that no matter what happens in this life, that we need not fear, for we truly belong to our faithful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.